Yudgimel El Toshin Pei Dalet Harav David Eisenberg Shlita.
Excellent. Okay, good morning, Rabbeisai. Been a few months since I've been here. The reason I know is I wasn't sure what we were up to, so I went and checked that out on the Torahway website. It was a good thing to be able to see where we're up to. It's a tremendous shkoyach to those people that mamish put up the shurim every single day. It's very, very hard work. Every single day to have to really upload the video, to have to upload the audio, etc., etc. So I have tremendous hakas because now I know where I'm up to, so I know where we can go on from. So we were in the middle of talking about, for those over 3 months ago, probably 3.5 months ago, we were in the middle of talking about getting a milchik spoon lost in a fleshik dishwasher. I don't know if those of you who come quite frequently might remember that, and we'll have to just try to reset the stage just very quickly, and then I want to go on. And that's the following. We said that a keli receives tam from what cooks in it. So whether if you have a fleishig keli, if you cook fleishigs in it, the keli receives tam of fleishigs. If you have another keli which is milchigs and you cook milk in it, it receives tam from the milky. We then went on to say that if you cook something else in that keli after you cook the fleishigs, we have something called noisen tam by noisen tam. So we're not talking about something fleishigs. You cooked fleishigs in a pot, and then you cook pasta in that pot. That pasta is called a pasta that has a noisen tam by noisen tam of fleishigs in it. The reason being, the tam of the fleishigs went into the pot, that's the first noisen tam. The tam of the fleishigs then went from the pot back into the pasta, that's the second noisen tam. And here, we had a machlokes that we mentioned between the Shulchan Aruch and the Rambam, whether nat by nat is mutter or not mutter. So, the Shulchan Aruch holds that nat by nat is mutter. Shulchan Aruch says, therefore, that pasta, once you've cooked it, you can eat it with cheese. The Rambam held, no, that pasta cannot be eaten with cheese unless you've already mixed the cheese into it. In that instance, we say, b'di'evet, nat by nat is mutter, and you would be allowed to eat that pasta with the cheese. Okay, that's what we said. Then we also mentioned one or two other things, and then I want to get into the Shulchan Aruch here. We also mentioned that once 24 hours have passed from cooking the fleishigs or the milchigs in this pot, the tam, the taste that is inside that pot, becomes pogel, becomes somewhat bad, becomes rotten, moldy, call it as you wish, and because it becomes that, therefore the taste is not as potent anymore, and it would not have the koyach to make something fleishig, to make something milchig, because the taste that is pogel, a taste that has a problem with it, is not the same thing. However, I don't know if we mentioned this last time or not, taste can only become pogum if it is something that is swallowed in the keli. So let's say I cooked fleishig in a keli today at 9 o'clock. Tomorrow at 9 o'clock we will say that that taste will become pogum, and anything that I cook in that keli after 9 o'clock tomorrow will not be considered fleishig because the taste inside it is pungent, has gone off. However, that's only true for taste. As far as mamoshes is concerned, let's say I had a keli and I had on the side, I had a bit of fat from the meat. There, we don't say that 24 hours makes it pogum, and until the actual meat becomes moldy, so obviously if the meat has gone moldy, then we say that's called noisen tam nafkan, that gives a bad taste. But if it's not gone moldy yet, then in that instance, it would still give taste even a day, 2 days, 5 days later, it doesn't make a difference because mamoshes, proper fleishigs, does not go off until it's off, whereas taste does go off. Okay? That's what we mentioned. Then we started talking about how the Shulchan Aruch discusses cleaning dishes. And the Shulchan Aruch is discussing the following case. In the olden days, we didn't have running water and we didn't have a boiler, so it was that we didn't have all of the wonderful amenities that we have today. And I think somebody once said that the regular person today, even a very poor person today, who lives in a regular standard house, lives better probably than Queen Victoria did. Who had running water at the time? Who had immediate hot water? Who had heat in the house that they could turn on at will, etc., etc.? Now you might say it might be too difficult to be able to afford the heat. That's a different discussion. But the mice, you have all these things. You have all these amenities. In the old days, if you wanted to clean, we all know that to clean dishes, using hot water is much, much more potent than using cold water. So now you have hot water. You have a milchik pot, and you put fleshig dishes into the pot. So the Shulchan Aruch tells us, you have a milchik pot that you put hot water in, and you put fleshig dishes in it, and importantly now, the water inside the pot is Yatzer Lettuce Boy. Where Yatzer Lettuce Boy is, where it's 43 degrees, 45 degrees, it's a heat at which the hand recoils from the heat. And we say that anything less than that heat is not going to be able to move taste. You need to have at least a certain amount of heat in order for it to move taste. And we say Yatzer Lettuce Boy is where we draw this line. So you have a fleshig pot, which is dirty, in a milchiger pot, big pot, that you're using to wash it up. And even if they're both b'nei yoimon, it's mutter. Why? Because it's not banat dehetera. That is called not banat dehetera. So we'll now explain, though he continues on and he gives a few other things, where that wouldn't be true. So if you have a pot, let's talk about this as follows. If you had a pot that you use today at 9 o'clock for milchiks, and this other big pot that you're washing up, that's the big pot you're washing up in, and you have another pot that you're using for fleshiks, okay? And that pot, the big pot that you use for fleshiks, also, you've used it at 9 o'clock today for fleshiks, it's clean, you stuck it inside this pot. What do you have inside the milchik pot? The milchik pot you cooked at 9 o'clock, you heated up milk in it, then you took out the milk, you cleaned it out, you put in water. Now all that's left inside this pot is nice and tan. The fleshik pot you cooked at 9 o'clock fleshiks in it, you got rid of the fleshiks from the pot, and now you put it inside this pot with the hot water. You have nice and tan in the fleshiks, you have nice and tan in the milchiks. Each one of them is then nice and tan back into the water. And that's called not by not that Torah, according to the Shulchan Aruch, that the nice and tam by nice and tam that went back into the water was okay. And therefore, says the Shulchan Aruch, that'll be mutter. However, now it gets difficult. Let's say, as we said before, you're actually washing up a pot that has dirt on it, which in general, that's what we would do because it was clean, there'd be no point in washing it. So you have a pot now that you use for fleshiks that's got bits of chicken in it and bits of meat in it or whatever else it had and bits of chowand, whatever it is that it's inside this pot. And you're putting it into this big pot with the hot water to wash it off. So now already we have to move away from, we spoke about not by not, the nois and tam by nois and tam, because the nois and tam by nois and tam was because I'd cooked fleshiks in this pot and then the taste that was inside this pot made its way into the water. That's nois and tam by nois and tam. Now I have a very different story. Because now I'm putting cholent into my hot water. That is not a second nois and tam, but that's real fleshiks inside this water. When I put real fleshiks inside this water, and the water is more than Yatzer Lettuce Boy, the water will now automatically become fleshiks. And if the water automatically becomes fleshiks, is going to then now affect the milchik pot that it is in and make a huge issue.
So you're talking about a case where you have a dishwasher. You've got a fleshig pot and a milchik pot in the
dish. So we're going to get to that. So I want to get through Shulchan Aruch first and then I want to get to the dishwasher. We're coming to the dishwasher, so I need to get through the Shulchan Aruch and the Ramah over here to understand it to be able to then work back to the dishwasher. Yeah. But that's really where we want to get to. So that's what happens in the dishwasher. Most people, I mean, I don't know, one of the funny things is, I know people that say that the dishwasher is there to clean. You have to do an original clean beforehand, and then you put it in the dishwasher. Now I'm thinking to myself, if you cleaned it already, why in the world did you put it into the dishwasher? Yeah? Anyway, the ma'isa, but that's what people, you know, Frankish concussions of women, like that's what they do in the ma'isa, and, you know, you just go on with it. You know, it's never, you know, just let your wife wash the dishes the way she washes the dishes, and sure, inshallah, I saw it, I think. Okay? But that's what she's doing. Mr. Adam, you're laughing because you probably... How many of these dishwashers did you have to fix that all these men and ladies have used badly, right? You know? You constantly get food and all sorts of stuff stuck in it. But I think that's why they say you have to wash it all off, because if there's so much food stuck in it, it's going to block the drain and then you can be left with... it doesn't work. Anyway, so if you have now mamoshes inside this pot that's going into the big milking pot... So now it depends. If you have shishim in the water, kinegin the mamoshes, so let's say it's a massive pot, And you've got a tiny drop of cholent inside. The little bit of cholent that you have inside is going to be bottled b'shishim to the water. The water then will not become fleshig. And if the water doesn't become fleshig, it won't trafe up the milcha keli, and then we'll be all okay. Right? However, if there isn't shishim, you're going to have a problem, and it's going to make this milchik part problematic. And now the Ramah comes, and here the Ramah throws in a huge chiddush. The Ramah says, "V'yeshraimim." So this is now new territory. "V'yeshraimim afilu ein shuman davuk behem." Even if there's no shuman that is stuck to it, even if there's nothing, no mamoshes in there, it's still going to be problematic. And the Taz and the Shach mention there's two reasons, either because it touches together, might touch, and therefore the taste moves without going through the water. Meaning to say, I had my fleshic part, and it's inside a milking pot. So what you're assuming is that my fleshic part sits in the middle of this milking pot, and it's giving off taste into the water, and the milking pot is not touching the fleshic part, it's giving off taste into the water, and the water in between is saying, I'm Switzerland, I'm neutral. Right? But, not that neutral. But whatever, you know, at least I make believe I'm neutral. Right? But what happens if instead of that, I moved it around, and now I took my fleshic part, I moved it around, and I bind it against the milchic part? Now you could say maybe that the neusentam from the fleshics went directly from the part into the other part, from the milchic into the fleshic, and from the fleshic into the milchic. And therefore, that's one reason that the Taz says that would be problematic. Alternatively, says the Taz, it could also be because we say that the taste, even if you didn't touch them together, but who says, what you're assuming now is, that the taste of the milchiks that are coming out of the big pot, and the taste of the flesh is coming out of the small pot, each one of them meets up with the water, so shalom lechem, sits together with the water for a little bit, and then a little bit of water with milk taste meets up with water fleshic taste, and they wave at each other nicely. And it's all good. Who says that's what happens? Maybe the time of the fleshics and the time of the milchiks meet up without the shatchan. They meet up in the middle without the water, creating a nice time of iser in the middle. And then, that would make everything osur, and that would be problematic all around. And therefore, the Ramah disagrees, and the Ramah says, no, even if there's no shuman, if there's no fat that is stuck to the fleshic part you're washing off, it will still be problematic. And therefore, he says, your way out of the problem is one of a few things. Number one, if one of the kelim is not ben yoymer. That's one way out of the problem, because if the kelim is not ben yoymer, remember what we said, the taste that's inside the keli is pogum, is pungent, it's gone off. So let's go back, let's look at this again. You have the milchik washing up part you've not used in 2 or 3 days. You have your fleshic part that is, whether it's dirty or not dirty, almost becomes irrelevant here. Right? Well, it doesn't become irrelevant. Okay, we'll talk about it. Right? You've now taken your fleshic part and you put it into the milchik part. The fleshic that's inside now is giving off fleshic taste into the water. The milchik, the big one which is not ben yoymoy, is giving off no taste or pungent taste, call it what you wish. But it's nothing. So the water now is only fleshik. The keli, which is ben yoymoy, will be 100% okay. That's for sure no shaila. Because the milchik that's inside the big keli cannot touch the fleshik because it's not ben yoymoy. However, it is possible that the fleshik that's inside the water now will trafe up my big milchik pot. Even though we'll say, well, it's not really trafe because it's not ben yoymoy. If you remember, we spoke about this 2 shiurim ago. If you had a keli, let's say if you had a keli that you used for milchiks today, and then tomorrow you want to use it for fleshiks, hypothetically speaking, if it's 24 hours have passed and you've cooked fleshiks in it, there's no problem with the keli. There's no problem with the food. It's all okay. Because whatever taste was in the keli is now gone, basically. The food's okay because it never became problematic. The keli's okay, never became problematic. But what we said was, that's not a very good way of doing things. If you have the same keli, you can use a fleshik or milchik, and you just keep on making a mental note, or you keep on writing down, 3 p.m. Today, 16th of December, use for fleshiks. But till tomorrow, 3 p.m., 17th of December, you can't use it. Then from then on, you can use it for milkshakes. You'll have a bit of an issue. You're going to start making mistakes and problems. It's going to become a whole balagan. And so we say that even though be'etzem, it's not treif, we don't use such a pot. If you have a pot that was milkshakes, it's now not ben yoyma, and then you use it for fleshiks, we say that pot needs kasher. Even though hypothetically speaking, it doesn't. Okay? So now, he says, the keli that you have, the fleshik keli that has dirt on it, is okay. The milchik keli becomes fleshik now, because it's not ben yoyman, has fleshik that's made its way into it. And basically everything is kosher, more or less. Okay? Everything will be mutter, although we'll say you have to use now the big keli for fleshiks. And the water becomes osur. The reason the water becomes osur is because we say water is quite cheap, and, you know, we don't want to sort of mess around with the water, having taste, not having taste. Just take the water and chuck it. Don't work with it. Yeah?
So according to this, a keli, which is not a fleshik keli, which is not a ben yoyma.
Yes.
Which is a ben yoyma.
Yes.
Which is not a ben yoyma.
Uh-huh.
The maichel that's cooked in it can be eaten with milkshakes.
Yes. Yes. Because that would already be, that's what we say already. I don't know if we spoke about this, but that would be a not benyada ein ben yoyma. That gives it another, even according to the Ramah, that'd be okay. Okay? Because we said, not by not, the Ramah holds the chachid as also, but the heaven is mutter. But that's only not by not where it's giving real taste. Here it's not by not of a taste that's already pungent. So there we say that's another level down. So that makes it, it would be mutter.
Any okay. Keli which is not Ben Yoyma.
I'm sorry, say again?
Any Keli which is not Ben Yoyma. Say a milking Keli.
Yes.
You just convert it to a fleshik keli.
You can't just convert a fleshik keli. You need the kasher before you convert it. Because you can, hypothetically speaking, if you used it for fleshik, you wouldn't trafe anything up. But you'd have to kasher the keli. The truth is, if you want to convert kelim, you should convert them. You should kasher them before you convert them. Also, I remember now, what was it? We would, can't remember which way around it is. Some say you shouldn't convert a keli from fleshiks to milchiks. And so what they do is they convert it sometimes from fleshiks to parev, and then from parev to milchiks. But you shouldn't go directly from, I can't remember if it's milchiks to fleshiks or fleshiks to milchiks, but I think it's fleshiks to milchiks. So we're not so into converting kelim. It's better not to just convert things, you know, like that. If you can, just buy a new one. But you certainly, if you use the b'di'evet, everything will be okay. But lechatchila, you certainly shouldn't use a milchik keli, which is not ben yoyma, to cook fleshiks with it. Okay? So he says, if one of the kelim is not ben yoyma, you'll be okay. But if they're both b'nei yoyma, and now he has in another point, and the water is kli rishon, this is the other point that the Ramah has in over here. The water has to be hot from a kli rishon, because a kli sheni already doesn't have the same level bishul. So let's say now, let's go through the same case. I took a big pot and I stuck it on the flame, and I heated up water. And then I took from that big pot and I poured a little bit of water into a slightly smaller pot, and that's my washing up pot. The water that's now inside that second pot is water that's only in a kli sheni, not in a kli rishon. If I now were to go ahead and put that same fleshik keli into that pot, we say the kli sheni doesn't have the same koyach to cook anymore, and then again everything will be mutter. Because I'm sorry,
even though it's above
Yatzaletzvay, interestingly enough, it seems that Yatzaletzvay in of itself is not enough; it needs to be in a kli rishon and not a kli sheni. Right? So he says, if it's a kli sheni, everything will be mutter. That's what he's saying now. This is very important to note also, because if you're saying then, if it's a kli sheni, because we'll have to come back to that and ask the question, a dishwasher, is it a kli rishon, is it a kli sheni? I should really be speaking to you, because you're the one that knows how this system works. As it's the other way around. See, very often, there are people, and I find this is what I've said often, that, you know, being a choshev rov is not enough to have hechsher. Yeah, I know many choshev rov. Somebody said to me, like, you know, does this person know halacha? Yeah. Is this hechsher any good? I don't know. Why? Because a hechsher is two things together. It is the expertise in halacha, but also the practical expertise that goes with going to a factory, understanding what other products are made on that line, understanding how to kasher the line, all these things, they are specialist interests, as you call them. They're not something that every rav knows. Just because I've learned Yerideya does not mean I can walk into a factory and tell you if it's kosher or not. And if I did, I'm telling you I wouldn't eat from that food. And you shouldn't eat from it either. I don't know what's going on over there. Where is the steam coming from? Where is the heat coming from? How to kasher it? What do you need to turn off? How to know what's been in? How to know what's not been in? There is a fach. Like all other things, kashrus is a fach. And so knowing halacha is not only about knowing halacha, but it's about knowing the facts also. Remember a friend of mine said when he learned Hilchas Brachas, he got himself some kind of encyclopedia just to learn how things grow. He said, like, if I don't know how things grow, if I don't know what comes where, someone says, well, what bracha is, whatever it is. So unless you know how it grows, it's very hard for you to say that this is a hadama, this is a eis, a shachar. It's about knowing the mitzvahs, right? In dishwashers, it's very much about knowing the mitzvahs. When does the water heat up? When does the soap join the water that comes in? How does it work? Is it a kli rishon? Is it iri kli rishon? Is it a kli sheni? What is it? Because it'll make a massive difference. As you can see over here in the Ramah, as we're talking about, the Ramah's telling us, it makes a big difference. If you have water from a kli rishon, that means I took this pot, I put it on the fire, I boiled up the water, and then I put my fleshy pot in it, that's a real problem. But if I took this pot, boiled up the water, poured it from there to another pot, and only in the next pot do I put in my fleshy pots, very, very different story. That's already klisheni. Then, even though it's dirty, etc., etc., we say klisheni is not my mashal, and everything will be mutter. So you start seeing over here that you read in the Shulchan Aruch, about your cheleves and this and that, and you say to yourself, how am I supposed to pull everything out of there? You start to see certain rules that make the way from it. The last thing is, I didn't get a chance to go through this properly, so I'm not going to go into this, but the Ramah then talks about irui. So let's say you had a fleshiga keli and you poured from that fleshiga keli onto a milkiga keli. Or you poured from a milkiga keli onto a fleshiga keli. Or the milk and the fleshiga next to each other and you're pouring onto both of them. So that will be also part of the discussion that we're going to have. What happens when you pour water? So there's certainly, I think almost everybody would agree, that a dishwasher is not a kli rishon. There's no element inside the dishwasher that's heating up the water. Is that right? The element is on the. Is element not somewhere outside? Inside. Was it inside the dishwasher? No.
The older ones had the element actually in the cavity.
Of did they? Plates. Yes.
And in the present ones, even if they're in the cavity, it's in the line of circulation of the water, so that as it gets pumped around,
yes,
under the cavity, part of the passage for the water has got a heating element in it.
Then that's what I thought. It goes through a cavity, gets heated up over there, and then it makes its way back into the spritzers that go around.
Yeah.
Right? So then that's it. So let's go back to what Mr. Adam said over here. In the older model dishwashers, where you had the element inside the cavity, you are dealing with a kli rishon. Right? Pardon?
It's like a kettle.
That's literally like a kettle. That is a kli rishon. You have the element inside it. So there, you'd have real problems. There already, you're going to have to say, okay, well, let's have a look. So let's talk this through, for example. You had a fleshige spoon that made into a milkige dishwasher, a milkige spoon that made into a fleshige dishwasher. If it didn't have any mamoshes on it, then you'd have possibly the Shulchan Aruch to rely upon, because it's only nap by nap, etc., etc., right? But if it had mamoshes on it already, and the Ramah disagreed on that, but if it had mamashas on it, which almost everything that goes in a dishwasher will do, because if it has no mamashas on it, why in the world are you putting it in the dishwasher? You're putting it to wash off all the grime and whatever else that's on it. So you start to have a bit of an issue. However, the chances are that if you had a single spoon, let's say a milchige spoon that made its way into a fleshige dishwasher, the amount of milchiks that's inside or that's on that spoon will certainly be bottle b'shishim to all of the water and everything else that's in there. So the water certainly never became milchiks. No, but the water mixes, the water all comes together. The water comes together, the cavity gets heated up again, the water mixes together, that's right. Does the water mix it sort of gathers together in the cavity and it gets sent around. The same amount of water gets sent around again and again. It uses about, I don't know, 10 to 15 liters worth of water, a dishwasher. It doesn't like use 150 liters and go through more and more and more water. It lets a certain amount of water in, heats it up, lets it through, goes through again and again. The same water is going through again and again and again, washing it. So that water is being mixed together again and again and again. However, the amount of milchiks on that is going to be certainly bottle to, because think about it, even if it's 10 mils of milchiks, it will take 600 mils of fleishiks, which is really not very much for a dishwasher, to be mevatel that by 60 times. So it surely would be mevatel by 60 times. The problem really will be, is that you have now real fleishik water, because all the other kalim inside this dishwasher are fleishik. And they're all throwing their mamashas into that dishwasher. And now already you need to ask yourself the question, is there going to be shishim keneged all of the mamashas on all of the plates and all of the forks and spoons that are inside that dishwasher? That's already a lot harder to imagine. And so chances are that the water in there now has become fleishiks. And this milchik spoon is in fleishik water. And another spoon is in fleishik water. Certainly, if the element is inside the dishwasher, you'd say, I have a klirishon, which is basically almost a klirishon al ha'esh, because I got an element inside it, with lots of fleishik taste, with one milchik spoon inside it. That milchik spoon never stood a chance. Treif, finished, end of story. And so therefore, in such an instance, if you had the element inside the actual cavity, bless Shaila, no Shaila whatsoever. Unless you did, I don't know if they do them so cold. Is there a cold run you can do on a dishwasher? Can you do it at 40?
They have different temperatures, yes.
Yes. Is there a run you can do at 40 degrees? Could you do a run at 40 degrees, or is that not...
Depends on the individual machine.
Okay, if you did a run at 40 degrees, it'll be okay. Why? Because now the water's not really Yatzeletzvay. Everybody holds 40 degrees and not Yatzeletzvay. So now the water's not hot enough to do it. So if the water only reached 40 degrees and no hotter than that, you'll be okay. As soon as you put it on the next one, which is usually 60 degrees, your water is well above Yatzeletzvay. It's a big fleishik cavity, a fleishik cooking implement that's got loads of fleishik inside it. Your milchik spoon will be bona fide treif. And you'll need to cash that spoon. So you need to wait for the spoon. You need to wait 24 hours for the spoon not to be bent. And then you can cash the spoon. It's quite similar to cash the spoon. If the element is not actually inside the cavity, but it's underneath the cavity and it's heating up the water underneath the cavity, there we're already going to have to start discussing, how do you see that now?
Even though it's in the flow of the water.
Even though it's in the flow of the water, how quickly does the water flow past it? Enough that it should be able to heat up? Or does the water actually sit there for a bit?
No, this microphone's really... It's heating while it's flowing.
It's heating while it's flowing. So it's slowly heating, slowly heating, slowly. It keeps on... So, I don't know. We'll have to see. We're going to have to look into that. We're going to have to talk about that next time. But basically what ends up happening is, what you end up seeing is that... If the water is going through that element, getting heated up, but then going through the pipes, then going to the spritzers and being spritzed out, some will say that's called klirishon, but others will say that's not called klirishon, that's called only iri klirishon. The difference between klirishon and iri klirishon, we'll have to see, there's going to be a very, very big difference. Because iri klirishon is only the mashgid a klipa, whereas klirishon is a mashal more than a klipa. So it all depends on understanding how this dishwasher works and what then ends up happening once the water makes its way back out, as to understanding, is this klirishon, ir klirishon, etc. So we'll leave it over here. Thank you very much. Anyone saying Kanish? Mr. Manko, be saying Kanish? Rabbi Chanan ben Akash, Oymus Gosh, Bogaz Akisot, Levira, Chirba, and Tayyip, Mitzvah, Shnei Amah, Lenoi, Chofetz, Leman, Zitkoi, Agdil, Teirah, Ve'yadir. Amen. 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 Amen.